Overheard at Yoga is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. All right. Welcome back to Overheard at Yoga. I'm just so beyond thrilled today because I have my favorite person, my boss here, Sally Riley. She's the owner of Hollywood Market Yoga. And I have her friend, Brandy. I totally forgot your last name immediately.
Mommy Zuka.
It's Mommy totally Zuka. Fine. And she owns and operates Y6. Wow. I almost messed that up. And you have several locations, actually.
I have four open Yoga 6 locations right now, currently.
So this is what is so cool is you guys both are business owners. You're both women. You both run yoga studios and you're friends. And I would say that you both run probably the hottest yoga studios in town. And I just want to get started and ask a couple background questions. So I'll start with you, Sally. Tell us a little bit about your background, where you're from, and how you got to Boise.
Oh, wow. My background. So I grew up a military brat, and my family moved all the time. We moved, I think I went to 12 or 13 moves. And almost every year I went to a different school. So, yeah, a lot of moving. And I was married and moved to Boise because one of my really good friends had come out to visit another friend and said, I think you'd like it. And moved to Boise in 1997 and lived out kind of more toward Eagle in that way. My kids were going to school that direction and came to find yoga through another really good friend of mine who had started going to class at what was called Sumit's Hot Yoga at the time. And this friend of mine invited me to go, and I'm not even sure. I think I ended up maybe taking two classes with my friend, actually, because I loved it so much, I just started going by myself. And I was driving all the way from Eagle to Broadway at the time. And it was probably, I started going like in October, like right after it had opened. So it's kind of a funny history because I just love that location and that place and just started going to yoga and kind of wanted to do a teacher training because I started selling shorts, yoga shorts.
I want to know how you started selling yoga shorts. Brandy, did you know Sally when she was selling shorts?
No, I did not at all. At all.
So I found all these really cool fabrics. I had I had kind of a design done, and I had expanded into tops too. And I would sell my shorts at actually at Sumit's. So I still sometimes see people wearing my shorts, which is kind of unbelievable. I'm like, cuz I know the fabrics, but I had Bucks bags sewing the shorts. And I thought I was going to do a teacher training and get certified and be, and I thought this certification would help me. If I could register to be a yoga teacher, I could probably get into some festivals and sell my shorts. That was my goal.
I know a couple people would come into Hollywood and they'd be like, Sally, I know you. And they're like, how do I know you? And they're like, oh yeah, I remember because I came outside into the parking lot from Sumit's and you said, psst, come here, want to buy some shorts? And you'd open up the trunk of your car and start showing people these hot yoga shorts. And they're like, that's how I met you.
Yep.
Yep. And I still have a lot of those shorts, actually, because I bought a bunch of them.
Yes, lots of people did. And what was kind of funny was when I, you know, kind of got it, decided to kind of do a studio, you know, open a studio, which was a weird experience altogether because I basically had a dream that I had a yoga studio. And so I thought about it for a couple of days and I thought, well, maybe, I don't know. And I drove around looking for like, well, where would I even put it? So I like drove around the North End and called another friend of mine who was in commercial real estate. And he told me that the Hollywood Market was for sale. And I was just thinking, market. That's a big open room. That would be perfect, you know? And went, got the key. Well, put an offer in to buy the space, which is totally backward. Then I saw the space. I'm one of those people that like, okay, I want it. You know, like, I know I already want it. And went in, saw the space, and just, it just like spoke to me like it was perfect. And so that was kind of what how it happened. I mean, and it's funny because I couldn't really, I stopped doing the short shortly after that because it just was too much to handle. But a lot of people that I met through the shorts, selling the shorts, like ended up coming to the studio and, you know, some of them ended up like Marianne bought shorts for me and she ended up teaching.
Yeah.
Dawn bought shorts for me and she ended up teaching.
That's awesome.
Yeah. A lot of the teachers. So
Brandy, how did you get
impressive?
How did you get to Boise? Are you from here?
I am originally from Hawaii. So I was born and raised on Oahu.
Okay.
And I went to Boise State University. So on a volleyball scholarship.
Awesome.
So that's how I ended up on the mainland and went to school. And at Boise State.
How did you get into yoga?
My yoga history goes back about 12 years, I think. Gosh, time flies. Yikes. And my sister, when I was home visiting my older sister, she had started going to a Bikram studio there. Mm. And so she said, you have to come to class with me. And I did, and I immediately fell in love. I love the physicality of the practice. And so when I returned to Boise, I looked for a Bikram studio and started practicing at Lake Harbor. So at this time I too drove 35 minutes to practice Bikram. And I was a diehard, you know, multiple times a week.
Yes.
So I started my practice with a hot yoga practice. Again, I was drawn to the physicality cause I've been an athlete kind of my whole life. And it's really the only way that I can quiet my mind, you know, after a class that feeling of peace and serenity and surrender, really. That's what I needed. So I look more for a physical practice. But anyway, so I started my hot practice. And when the Sumit studio opened, the same studio that Sally practiced at, it was closer to my house. So I gave it a shot and I loved it. Loved the community there. And so, yeah, that's how I started my yoga practice. And I loved it so much. I wanted to teach, did the training. So I had a corporate career at this time. So I would teach whenever I was in town. So weekends, late nights, and I started teaching yoga a couple times a week.
What was your corporate career?
So I was at Micron Technology.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I was there for 18 years.
Oh my gosh.
Got an internship my last semester of school and never left. So I pretty much grew up there. I was, you know, I started when I was 20. So I left 5 years ago now, I think, when I bought the yoga studios that I now own. So I resigned from my corporate career.
Okay, so you did a training because you're like, I'm feeling this. You teach when you can, when you were in town because you're so busy. what led you to a studio? What made you think that was the next thing that you wanted to do?
Yeah, great question. So I had been helping the owner at the time, Donna, with various aspects of the business. She loved the practice, opened the studios and did an amazing job. She had four studios. And she didn't really love like the business side of the business. Mm-hmm. So I helped her with some of those aspects of the business and got more involved, and she had reached her goals. And it's just, it's one of those situations where the universe just kind of aligned, you know. I was ready to do something different in my career, considered moving to, you know, Silicon Valley, and to shift things.
Okay.
And the opportunity to buy the studios came up at the time. So I jumped at it and said, pick me. And the transaction happened over a few months. So I resigned from my corporate job and bought the studios. And I kind of stepped into it. And it was great because I was already a teacher there. So I was familiar with the culture and knew the staff and whatnot. So a lot of people, including my dad, I remember my parents being a little nervous for me, like leaving that security blanket of having a long corporate career. And he asked, are you sure you want to leave Micron?
Are you sure? Yeah. That's a big shift, especially when you're considering Silicon Valley versus I'm going to buy a handful of yoga studios. Mm-hmm. What was your biggest misconception about running a yoga studio that you didn't realize until you actually got into it?
I think what I underestimated was the fact that it can be lonely sometimes at the top. I have a fantastic team, of course, but when you're making tough business decisions, it's not like you can run it past, you know, your friend who's on staff or your team. So it is sometimes very lonely at the top. So that was the one area or aspect of owning your own business that I didn't really think about or I underestimated. And I think big, I go after big things. So I was learning as I went, basically. I didn't know about credit lines or, you know, just the business side of business. I knew how to run the business, but in terms of like taking it to the next level, you know, so it was, I was learning as I went.
What's your astrology sign?
I'm a Virgo.
Get out of here.
Yes.
That's my favorite sign. And Sally, you are?
Aquarius.
And I would say for Sally and I working together, I love that she's an Aquarius because she does have all these big ideas. And I'm guessing there's Aquarius in your birth chart somewhere. And then I feel like with Virgos, it can just be like execution. You tell me what to do, I'm going to do it. And when you talked about being kind of lonely at the top because you have to make the big decisions, I'm so grateful for Sally making the big decisions because then I can just be like, sorry, Sally said, this is what we're doing now. So any staff who might have like a concern or a problem, like, well, Sally said, I just hide behind you sometimes. I'm like, you got to get it done. Get in that paperwork. Yep.
The buck stops with the top, right?
Yeah. So I definitely feel for that. Like you have to kind of really be strong in that position. Sally, same question. What's your biggest misconception that you had about running a yoga studio that you didn't really know until you got into it?
I think part of it started with the teacher training in general. So my story was I signed up for a teacher training and I thought that I was going to lay on my yoga mat and hear stories all day. Yoga stories, like yoga history and all the, you know, the stories of Hanuman and... that I would just kind of, you know, lay down and just sort of absorb all these things. And then I would just become a yoga teacher. Poof, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got an email before we started the actual training. And there was like 49-page document in there. And it was basically, a hot hour class. And I thought, what is this? Oh, well, you know, no biggie. I'll just find out when I get there. And then discovered when I got there that, like, I had to learn all of that. And I just...
You had to memorize the dialogue, 50 pages.
Yeah, it was 50 pages. And I was like, this is no. This is not happening to me. What happened to my vision of what this was going to be like? And so, you know, it is different than you think it is, in a lot of ways. Running a business is still... You know, running a yoga studio, it's still a business, and you're responsible to pay people and to be insured, to make things safe and all of those types of things. And so it is a good responsibility to take on. And I think that there's a lot of people who probably think like, oh, you have a yoga studio, like you don't know what it's like to work hard, you know?
Yeah, or you practice yoga all day.
Yeah,
like, I get that. Yeah, like, oh, you're so lucky you get to practice. My mom thought that uh-huh. you know, and I'm like, well, not quite. We don't. Yeah.
Would you say that's what most people think you do when you say you own a yoga studio? It's like, oh, so you just you do yoga all day.
You know, I think the general. I think you know the most. Many people probably think that we're practicing yoga all day, but mm-hmm. it's quite the opposite. We have to make time for our practice. But when you talked about teacher training, can I?
Yeah. Add this?
Okay.
Yeah.
So when I did my training, I was old, right? I mean, this is 6 years ago. I'm 43.
Oh my gosh.
44 soon. But so my old brain, so learning the dialogue and how to, you know, teach the set sequence, I remember I would lock myself in the room, a conference room at Micron, doing work hours. And, like, practice my, you know, my teaching skills, blah, blah, blah. Hit it out of the park, pass my mock. Yes, I'm on the public schedule. My first public class that I taught was a popular time slot, 5:45 or whatever, at Broadway, and I was so horrible. It was terrible. I could not remember the sequence. I like screwed up so many times to the point where the students were looking at each other and I was just like mortified, right? So literally after the class, I cried. I'm an adult woman, you know? And I remember it was my mom's birthday because I was driving home and I was bawling. Like I did, but I called her to leave, you know, talk, wish her happy birthday and had to leave a voicemail. So it was like, oh, hi mom, happy birthday. Like, I'm so sorry, I'm crying. I just taught my first public class. It was terrible, but anyway, happy birthday. And I look back at that, you know, a few days later and I was like, oh my gosh, that was so dumb. Like, what was I thinking? Like the world was like ending, you know, like I can't do this. It's so hard. But I love yoga so much that it was one of those things where it's like, okay, I'm gonna do it again. Like once I get over that, like, you know, that period of like reality check, it's harder than people think it is. But anyway, I just remember I literally cried and bawled in my car. It was pathetic.
I think I was the complete opposite because I don't know if this is just a woman thing or a Virgo thing, but you have these expectations and if you don't meet them and perfectionism sneaks in and you're like, oh no. And I think I had decided to just set the bar extremely low so that I would not have those types of feelings where I would bawl. And so I was like, you just have to teach it. And our teacher trainer, Gabriel Azule, he was like, your first 100 classes are going to be garbage. You just need to accept that. And I remember being horrified, like, how am I going to live through teaching 100 trashy classes? So when I taught my first class, which Sally put me on the schedule, I refused to teach because I was never going to be ready. I'm not ready. Well, you're already on the schedule and you took the training, so you're teaching. I was like, ah. So I taught the class. I wouldn't let any friends come. I wouldn't let anyone take my class that I knew. And I did awful. Luckily, there was a woman in the class who knew all the poses. Thankfully, for sequence classes, all the students already knew the sequence, so then I could just look at what she was doing. So I hovered next to her the whole time and just stared at her and waited for her to go to the next posture. And then I went home and I bought a bottle of cheap champagne from the gas station next to my house and like came home with my roommates and I was like, I'm a yoga teacher. I survived.
I love it. It's celebrated. Yeah.
Yeah. I just had to get through that class. I'm also really curious how you two became friends.
Yeah. Well, so one of the things that I've kind of figured out about myself is I'm really good at starting businesses, but I'm not always, but I'm also really good at deciding when I don't want to have a business. So, and I'm not afraid to start a business. So I had a studio in Meridian. It was called Halo. And it did okay. It was an okay studio. We had some amazing people that attended there. We had some great teachers. We had some great moments, but it wasn't strong. And I was at Barbacoa, and a friend of Brandy's had walked in and said something to me. We started a conversation, and he said, "Well, did you know that Brandy is looking to open a studio in South Meridian?" And I said, "Oh, well, I would rather just sell her mine." So, you know, and that was kind of how we came to kind of meet each other, really. She was interested in purchasing Halo, and we met several times because of that sale, to talk about, you know, the business, and just started to become friends, really. And she would come to me with questions, and then I was super happy after we sold it, because I realized, like, I just really liked having one studio and having one place. And then I think that we just sort of ran into each other somewhere and said, "Do you want to go get happy hour sometime?" And then we, how it happened? Then we just started getting together, and we probably get together every 2 or 3 months and just kind of talk about all of those life types of things life.
Running the studios, funny stories about running studios.
Oh, yeah. The funny stories that are probably, like, you know, things you need advice about too. Like, how do you handle this type of situation? Something that maybe you don't want to discuss, you know, with other people.
Can you give me an example?
I think maybe an example is how to deal with a difficult student, for example, or how have you dealt with that? Or, you know, if
because you got did some, you get a lot of the students from Halo after Sally handed you the keys?
Yes, most of the students stayed. Some left because they it wasn't Halo, it wasn't owned by Sally anymore. And what I appreciate about Sally is that she has a lot of integrity in the way she runs her business and how she holds herself in life, and very honest. And so it became very apparent to me when we first had our interaction discussing business and whatnot and really negotiating, you know, the purchase price for the studios. Like, I just really respected her from the very, very start. And it was a smooth transition. She could have easily just said, "Here you go," and, you know, and not help facilitate the transition. And she was available, was there. She even offered to teach if she needed, you know, if I needed somebody to teach and fill class time slots. So I just really appreciated that. And, you know, when you meet someone, you can feel their energy. You just know that you click. Like, yes. That is exactly how I felt when I met Sally. And I'm like, this lady, like, this gal is, she's cool, you know, like, she's cool. And so I think it took us a while to, I felt that, didn't know what the boundaries should be, you know, being, you know, yoga studio owners and how would that be perceived by teachers and the community? Like, I don't know. I just, you know, it's the first time kind of chartering this, these waters. And, but over time we've developed a very, very close friendship, and we talk about life and challenges and business. So it truly is a friendship. Yeah. And what is great about it is that I can also, you know, reach out to her if I have a question about how she's handled a specific thing in the yoga studio or operationally, you know. So we really try and help each other out, which is fantastic.
I think that's so just awesome. And I think Do you think yoga has something to do with that? Because some people in business can be really cutthroat and unhelpful, but it's like, I think women need to stick together. And I think something about yoga makes it us want to try to strive for that higher place.
It's really coming from the mindset of abundance, I think, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, scarcity and lack. And so, and it's a tough thing to balance.
It is. It's a tough line because, you know, Brandy's in business to succeed. I'm in business to succeed. You know, we've actually talked about, like, with COVID, we've talked a lot mm-hmm. because just policies, she sent me release forms and things like that just to review, like, what do you think of this? And this is what we're doing. And, you know, things like that, it's been a help because, you know, you're kind of like, she's got four studios and also a corporate, you know, backing her, corporate franchise business backing her. So a lot of things that she does, you know, she's up with what's going on all over the country. And I'm just one little yoga studio. So sometimes I come up with an idea, but I have no idea, like, is this okay? Or, you know, so I run it by Brandy and she's, you know, awesome to help. And we also kind of, you know, have to be, you know, careful sometimes. You don't want to, like, you don't want to say, like, well, our prices are this. Oh, I'm going to, you know, because you don't want to, I guess there's like price fixing. You don't want to do anything like that in the business. But, you know, I might tell her, like, yeah, we're doing this tomorrow or something like that or whatever. And I'll let you know how it goes, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But yeah, it's a different kind of friendship because you wouldn't normally think that would happen, especially because, like, there's a lot of yoga studios that kind of operate in a bubble, and that mm-hmm. is also really hard to operate in your own bubble and not really be aware of what's happening in your own industry, and to not really be able to talk and ask advice of other studios because you view them so much as competition. So it is an unusual friendship for sure. But we also find that we have a lot in common mm-hmm. and, you know, just as far as like dealing with life and spouses and boyfriends and kids and all of that kind of stuff too. So, you know, we talk about everything together and, you know, sometimes I think, it's like we make more of an effort to see each other, I think, and to commit to seeing each other on a regular basis because we don't get to see each other but I've gone over and taken class with Brandy mm-hmm. at her studio just, you know, to say hi and meet up. So, you know, which is always really fun to kind of just be part of, you know, a different environment just for a little while, which also I have great memories of, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really fun. And Christina, I also, you know, I admire Sally so much. She's a hustler, right?
Oh,
you know
yeah.
that. She just hustles and she's like a true entrepreneur, which I love. And so I love chatting with her about different ideas and whatnot. And I was going to say, so she mentioned being, and she's a sharp businesswoman, you know, and I love business myself and she wants to succeed. I want to succeed, but yes. I don't want to succeed at the expense of mm-hmm. her studio.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I think there's that mutual respect
yeah.
That we have for each other. And like, you know, everyone should do yoga, you know,
yeah.
and that's what I truly feel. And there's so many people that haven't been exposed to yoga. So there's so many yoga students out there. There isn't a need to compete is what I'm, you know, the point I'm trying to make.
Abundance mindset. There's enough
mindset.
For everyone.
Correct.
There's so many
Correct.
Different studios like coming up and we've lost so many studios during COVID mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and it's nice to kind of look around and your friends are still with you.
Yeah.
Even though you've lost some friends, but I think that's really cool what you guys are doing.
So it's fun. It's fun. And Sally makes this journey a lot more enjoyable, I would say, you know, during the tough times, you know, especially during the tough times, you know, last year it was really tough for the whole industry, quite frankly. And I think at times she leaned on me to keep going forward and vice versa, because you really don't know about someone's experience, or you don't know what someone's feeling unless you've been in their shoes. And so, you know, Sally is one of those people for me. So I have, of course, other really close friends, but unless you own a small business and a yoga studio in particular, you can't fully comprehend. And so, and Sally does, because she's there, she's in it, just, you know, just as I am. So,
and Brandy, she just is, you know, I think that we complement each other in our business styles, because, I guess I think I'm kind of more, I'm just sort of free and
woo! Aquarius.
So, you know, I'm not really good with, paper, like documentation and paperwork and policies and all of that kind of stuff. And Brandy is like awesome at it. And she's been so much help in so many areas, because she just really is on top of her business, and she has to be. And you have four. I mean, you can't just kind of let those things go. You've got to watch every single one of those studios. And so, she's just really good at that kind of stuff. So anytime I have some sort of question like that, I've always called Brandy, because she's just, you know, and she's very also like, she really thinks about something. So if I call her and I say, I need your opinion on this, she's like, I really want to think about that, and I'll get back to you. But I need, you know, and she will think about it. She doesn't just she doesn't just talk out loud about how she feels about something. She's like, I need to really think about this. And she'll do research and get back to me later with, you know, here's a text, here's an email, follow up with this, you know. And I just appreciate that, because it's like, I think that we see different sides of each other, which really complement each other. And we value that. And we kind of feel like there's gaps that you fill for me in when I ask about the business that I don't know about. And so it's a good friendship too, with just the fact that we're not super similar. You know what I mean?
Yes. I think we have a similar value system, which is our values. Yeah. So well, but in terms of maybe management style or how we operate the business, we're a little different on that. And I lean on Sally for, you know, I have a corporate background, so that's, you know, I'm a little more, you know, direct and here's how it is. And
are you a list person and a routine person? I mean,
of a rhythm. I don't have a routine. Routine for me is, I would say no for routine. I'm not super stringent black and white routine person, but I like to be in a rhythm. Mm-hmm. When it comes to operating my studios and running the studios, I want everyone to know what to expect. Teachers, staff, you know, the students. And so that's important to me. And my teacher team comes first. So I think about decisions and always think about, okay, is this best for the team, the teacher team, really? And I bounce those ideas, you know, off of Sally as well. Because I think she does a really good job taking care of her staff.
She does.
And giving them, you know, latitude, giving you guys latitude to be creative in the studio and whatnot. And I can learn a lot, you know, from her on that. Because I'm running the four studios, sometimes I get a little anxious when I, at the thought of letting, you know, the teachers kind of deviate from what I set up as part of the structure and operations and whatnot. So I have a lot to learn. So
that makes sense, because there are four studios, so four times the number of teachers. So that would be a lot of, I don't want to use the term correcting, but a lot of
Redirecting
if someone goes a little too far off on the beaten path when you have a set of expectations.
Yes, and how much latitude do you give, right? It's because nothing's black and white.
No.
In anywhere, really, in life. So it's a matter of figuring out what you're okay and not okay with.
What's the best part of having 4 yoga studios?
It's the people, that my teacher team. We have such amazing teachers on staff, and we're very close-knit family. Like, so having, it's can be a headache at times, of course. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work running the 4 studios, and we're with, you know, we have a skeleton crew right now. But the teacher team and the community is what continues to drive me forward and helps, you know, fill my cup.
I thought you were going to say, no matter what part of town you're in, you're going to be able to find a yoga class.
I know. I'm the worst salesperson when it comes to that kind of stuff. Like, and, you know, I digress for just a second. That's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
When, you know, I don't know why I'm going to tell the story, but anyway, when I'm out in public or, you know, eating, I get complimented on my skin. Like, your skin is so, you know, the waitress or whatever. And so that happens on, you know, a fairly regular basis. And I'm with my sister and my other sister at one point, and I said, oh yeah. Oh, thank you. I use, you know, Epionce, you know, like, and, uh-huh. and just, you have to start saying it's hot yoga, you know?
Oh,
and I was like, you do. Oh, you're right. Because it is, glow. You know, mm-hmm. it's, you know, you open your pores and, you know, and I'm just going, I need to start like selling our service, our, you know, our craft.
What do you want people product. To know about your yoga studio that most people don't know?
Oh gosh. That's a tough question. I think most people know about our studio in terms of when they come to the studio, it's a very welcoming environment. I think it's more, it can be more, our classes that we offer is more accessible than maybe some think in the
okay.
community. It's, you know, some people get turned off because if you see the word hot on the schedule, you know,
yeah.
but we're resilient human beings. And I think people don't give themselves enough credit sometimes. So I would encourage everyone to try it.
I love that. Sally, same question. What is the, like, a misconception people have about your studio or don't know about the studio that you wish they knew?
I think as along the same lines of what Brandy said, that a lot of people think that they can't do it. Mm. And I remember when I first started going to hot yoga at Sumit's, which became Essential and became Yoga 6, I could not hold my arms over my head for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
It hurt. It was really hard. And that's embarrassing. Like, it's so weird to say now because I feel like I could hold them over my head forever. But that was really tiring for me. And the fact that I couldn't do everything made me want to come back and do more. And I never once felt bad that I couldn't do something because I feel like that. To me, it was like there was always room to grow, and there was always, even in taking the same class 3,000 times, there's always room to grow, and there's always room to change, and things that you still learn about yourself. So, that for me is the biggest thing, is to encourage somebody to keep coming, because even though the people that you see in the room look like they know what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
they're still growing and they're still learning. So of course everybody in the room is in the same boat.
I also have to ask you, Sally, what have you overheard at yoga?
Oh, well, I think I'm going to go back to what happened the other night. We have a little gal, this super cute, and she's been coming for years. Her name is Star Knight. Super cool name.
Oh yeah.
And she was in back of me in class the other day, and after class she said, I love taking class
behind you. I love watching you practice. And I said, yeah, I'm having trouble with my feet. I keep rolling to the inside of my foot and then kind of falling over.
Mm.
And I'm really trying to like work on like stability in my feet right now. And she said to me, yoga will heal your body.
Oh, cute.
Oh.
And I was just like, yeah, of course it will. Like, thank you for telling me that. But yeah, she's just like, yoga will heal your body.
Star and Star Knight is petite little thing. She's got to be in her 70s, and she comes to yoga maybe 5 times a week.
And sometimes she takes multiple classes in a row.
She's brilliant. And I remember she never complains. And one time, like out of all the years I've known her, she's taken our teacher training 3 times, by the way. She's never complained. And one day she said her back hurt. And I was like, oh no, are you okay? And then she took class and she came out. She was like, you healed me. Yoga healed me.
I love students like that. It's spreading your day, right? They have such a great attitude.
She's so wonderful. Yeah, she's an awesome member of our community. Yoga will heal you. Brandy, what have you overheard at yoga?
Gosh, I think maybe one of the funnier comments that I've heard. So I was in my North Meridian studio and the teacher asked a new student who had taken their first class how they felt after class. And he said, gosh, that class was really hard, but I really enjoyed it. And I couldn't do any of the moves, you know, or poses, but the only move I could do was dead baby. And
oh my God. And
he probably felt that way at the end of class. He meant, of course, happy baby.
Yeah.
As a posture in
dead,
class.
Oh no, he, dead baby.
Yeah.
Pose.
So he, maybe the teacher, you know, said Shavasana corpse pose or something. And so he got
it all.
Yeah. It was very cute. You know? Yeah. He could do dead baby. So.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's a good one.
Oh. Yeah. There's a lot of funny stuff that goes on in the studios. Like, yeah. Lots of funny stories. You think people, you know, that come to yoga are like calm and you know, have it all together.
I heard a rumor about a student at your Meridians after we sold Halo. So some of our teachers who were from Halo stayed on and then you took over. And then I heard a student started coming to classes, but she would bring in all her belongings and then, like during class, she would like go through her phone, go through her purse. And I'm trying to remember what the teacher told me about. She didn't know how to deal with it. She's like, we're in the middle of hot yoga and this lady's just rifling through her purse and like going through things. Does that sound familiar? Do you know who I'm talking about?
I don't know the student. I know the scenario or the situation, but okay. I mean, we've had students eat, like bust open a candy bar in class, you know, and the teacher, like in the middle of class. It is just, there's the craziest things that happen. Really funny, but that's, you know, it's that's what keeps us entertained, I guess. It's just the wildest things. But
I don't know how many years ago this was, but there was a guy in the yoga community and I had like friends at other yoga studios tell me to like, oh, by the way, there's this guy. And he eventually, I want to say he was banned from your studio. Maybe it was before you owned it, but he kept bringing in beer to class and he would crack it open at the break time and he would be really exaggerated about like like drug it and then be like like super loud, and they finally were like, you cannot bring beer to yoga. So then he started going to other studios where he thought he would be allowed to bring it, and they kept being like, you cannot bring beer. So I remember he finally made it to Hollywood, and instead of just doing it, he asked me at the front desk and he was like, can I bring my PBR into class?
Oh my gosh.
And I said no.
You have to be more specific when we say hydrate, right?
Yes,
hydrate with water. Electrolytes, not with beer. But
That's so funny.
Yeah, I want to thank each of you so much for coming on my little podcast. And I'm so inspired by both of you and your friendship and what an example you are for the yoga community. Both of you are definitely leaders who I look up to. So thanks for coming on my podcast.
Thanks for having,
thank you, Christina.
Thanks, Christina.
Yeah.
Thank you, Christina. Thanks, Brandy, for coming too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bye, guys. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste!